Thank you, Buzz. It means an awfully lot to me because of the nature of a person that I am to be called a friend and to be recognized. One of the most cherished moments that I have in my memory of Buzz was that he was introducing me to some of his neighbors up in Milwaukee. And this had been after we had traveled up there a number of times. And he introduced me. You remember that? That word you used? He wouldn't admit to it if he did. But he introduced me as his dearest friend. And I always took that as a special responsibility to never allow myself to take our friendship for granted and to always cherish the times and opportunities that were open to us. I'd like to begin this evening with your prayers. I had a lot of trouble with this sermon. You may feel it's a very simple and very basic sermon, and I hope it is. But for me to get the right deliverance, the right statement to come across was very difficult. My theme was stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's a scripture, and the thesis of the scripture is, why do we continuously crucify our Savior as we recommit some of those very same sins that we have committed and repented of, and committed and repented of, and committed and repented of? And it's always bothered me, the thought, not that our Savior would be unwilling to come to our aid as his children, no matter how many times he's called upon, but the fact that I would put him through that, require him to accept my desire of repentance and of doing better and of making that commitment and studying and trying to truly understand the ramifications. And come back again and require Christ to go through the same thing again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Albert Einstein, gave a definition. And the definition is to the word insanity. And Einstein's definition was, insanity is doing the same thing over again and again, expecting a different result. And you know, we've all done that, I'm sure. We've all been in charge with a responsibility to do something. And we make efforts to prepare and to analyze and to understand what will be expected of us. And we'll go back and do it the same way, hitting our heads on that same bump, knocking ourselves silly with that same slip of the thought. Insanity is doing the same thing over again and again. You see, the spirit of the law gives us the freedom, the liberty that was talked about in my theme. The theme comes from Galatians, the fifth chapter of Galatians, and from the first chapter of Galatians through the sixth, Paul is trying to explain to the Galatians that he brought them to a point of conversion, and Christ converted them. And they knew Jesus Christ, because to partake of the Holy Spirit, you must trust what Jesus Christ has told you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. I'll pick on Jennifer, because I know I'll pay for that one later. Jen, who do I have to trust to know that I'm going to receive an eternal reward? Jesus Christ. If you don't believe, if the efforts that are generated here in this building and in our hearts and the experiences and the callings that God has made to us, what hope do we have if we don't have a covenant, a promise with someone that can bring it through? Just because God says it, is that enough? Yes, it is. Why is it enough? Because I choose to accept it. You know, Paul was in a very unique situation, really, when you think of it. Actually, he's in the same situation that the ministry of the Church of Christ was in. Paul was not responsible for his calling from the apostles that Christ called. No man told Paul to prepare. No person taught Paul the gospel. No man promised Paul the gift of eternal life except the Holy Spirit. Because it was through the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus that Paul was actually converted, not by man. The calling, Paul says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. The calling itself did not come through the apostles. He did not meet the apostles of Jerusalem until something like the fourth or the fifth year after his conversion and after he was called as an apostle. So consequently, he wasn't dependent upon any person's testimony. In the Book of Mormon, Mosiah 1:119 says, the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the beginning of time and will be forever. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now think of that. Unless we have that spiritual discernment that Paul had, and the availability of that discernment that was given to Paul, there is nothing that can convince us totally of the assuredness of Jesus Christ, other than Jesus Christ. And the natural man does not accept spirituality because it's not common to that natural man. I remember one time I shared one of my testimonies with an individual, and the guy laughed at me, and he said, "Bob, I'm sorry, but that's a bunch of malarkey." I never realized how harsh and hard people can be until you start talking about ideas and accepting ideas and understandings. The Book of Mormon promises that the mysteries of heaven will be opened unto those with the Holy Spirit. The mysteries of heaven will be opened unto those with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back and look at that theme. What do I mean by stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free? What has made us free? Just from what we've talked about thus far, what has made us free? God. Right, Jenny. Jesus Christ, because he came through the crucifixion, the only hold that Satan had upon mankind was the unknown of death. And Christ conquered it. Do you remember when the little guy in Sunday school this morning, I think it was Manon's class, she got him to say the word conqueror. Something like that. And then he started climbing up on the pulpit with his fingers. And he said, climbing, conquering, climbing. And he's right. He's right on. Do you think that you could climb a 20 million foot mountain? I think I'd have to let you go by yourself. But he's got faith. He's got faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and evidence. Evidence of things not seen. Before I can accept Jesus Christ was victorious over death, I have to what? I have to trust Jesus Christ. Remember, we've all seen, I'm sure at one time or another, in a lot of companies would go at conventions and thing, and they would try to teach us to trust one another. And they'd have some guy behind you, and you were supposed to fall back, and this guy was supposed to catch you. And that was building trust. Some of the guys I worked with as salesmen, but see, that's how I built trust in those guys. Because they never let me fall. Has Christ ever let you fall? Have you ever fallen as a result of your dependency upon Jesus Christ? Have you ever been burdened because of Jesus Christ? No, I think we probably are burdened more because of the flesh and the traits of flesh rather than the Spirit of God. Give you an example. I love Enos because Enos does a couple of different things for me anyway. But Enos Enos went out to the woods to hunt for animals. And he said, you know, my dad is a good man. And I can trust my dad. He didn't know too much about God. His dad said his God was okay, but his dependency was on his dad. And his dad saying, you can take Christ at his word. So he says, you know, what's it going to hurt? What have I got to lose? Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in the language and also in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. His dad taught him time after time after time of proofs that added up to be knowledge. You see, when we have an idea hit us in the head, that's not knowledge. If I ask you what's 2 plus 2, right, Sue? You tell me it's 4. And my question to you is, 4 what? Well, you say 4 numbers. Well, what is the value of numbers? There is no value there to us until we place a value on it. What is your value of your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is the full trust and dependency of your relationship to Jesus Christ? And Enos said, you know, my dad's a good man and I trust him. And he's taught me and I've seen the things that he's taught me and they've come true. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest. And the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my soul, but they were not guaranteed because his father could not guarantee them. But his father had not lied to him in the past, and so he could accept and give it a shot. What do you do? What do I do when we were converted? We gave it a shot. What did I do when I entered into the covenant with Jesus Christ? I said, I'll give it a shot. Since then, hopefully, I have matured and strengthened and been strengthened by what? The proofs of my relationship with Jesus Christ. My soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And at this time, I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. I began by trusting my father, my earthly father. And I came away from that experience, knowing that Jesus Christ is good for his word. So I have one step closer to a relationship with Christ. Is that knowledge? Yes. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the first steps of knowledge. It's my first reward of trusting, of letting go and falling back. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore, my guilt was swept away. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. He had a trust. He had a need. And that need was greater than his ability to deliver. So he took that trust and turned it into faith. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came unto my mind. Now, let me ask you an honest question. If there was a great voice coming out of the ceiling, other than mine, you'd be kind of impressed, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you sit up and take notice if all of a sudden we all heard a voice and it wasn't ours, and that voice was calling us to him? I think it would make it noteworthy. I think we'd probably stop what we were doing and focus upon that voice. This has happened to him twice now in the same day. That voice has come. And Enos says, I know that God can't lie. And he promises to visit his brethren according to their diligence in keeping his commandments. And now, Enos has a conviction starting in his heart, because he knows and he believes. He knows that there is a value to that voice. That voice is fulfilling needs that Enos has, and there are great concerns that he has of his loved ones. And that voice says, I'll be there for you. I'll do it. Now, Enos knew about the Lamanites. They were sworn enemies, sworn to kill any Nephite they could. But Enos knew from the teachings of his dad that the Nephites would falter and fall short. Lehi himself was taught that. Nephi was taught that. And on and on and on. Enos was concerned about the word of God, that it would not come forth because of the failure of his people, the Nephites, to withstand the task. And so what did he do? Twenty-fourth verse. For he had said unto me, whatsoever things ye shall ask in faith, believing that ye shall receive in the name of Christ, ye shall receive it. And I had faith. I've just had two immediate successes. I'm on top of the world. I heard that voice twice. Twice it came to me. And I had faith, and I did cry unto God that he would preserve the records. Now the Lamanites, they thought that all this churchy stuff was kind of stupid. They thought it was traditions of their forefathers. They had no credence, no value. But he's asking God that he will make these Lamanites bring this record forth. Guess what? They did it. They did it. The third step in Enos was that God did it. And the Lord said unto me, thy fathers have also required of me this thing, and it shall be done unto them according to their faith. For their faith was like unto thine. Their faith was like yours, Enos. It wasn't. But I'll make it so. And he did. And you and I have the proof of it. Now, if we go to the next two verses in that same chapter, well, I guess I just ended that show. That's it. I'm short one slide. I'm sorry. If we go to the 29th and the 30th verses of Enos, Enos is so convicted of the power of God and the fulfillment of God's word. And now it came to pass that I, Enos, went about among the people of Nephi, prophesying of things to come and testifying of the things which I had heard and seen. And I bear record that the people of Nephi did seek diligently to restore the Lamanites unto the true faith in God. Anti-Nephi Lehi. Many people. Samuel. The Lamanite. There were many of the Lamanites who were converted and turned to the power of God. We know it was true because we saw the end of we've read the end of the book. We know it's true. And so consequently, we come down to you and I. Enos was a good example, right? But what about you and I? Are you comfortable with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you comfortable with your relationship with the Holy Spirit? What can you do about it? Well, I think Paul gives us that point, and that's what he was talking to the Galatians about. They had received the legalistic Jewish people that had come in and said, you guys cannot believe in Jesus Christ. Don't feed us that. You cannot, and he had called them Christians. He said, these legalistic Jews said, you cannot be Christ-like so that you can be a Christian. Why? Because they weren't circumcised. Circumcision was a part of the law. But what Paul had taught them, because as I said in the beginning, he wasn't converted by man and man's teachings. He was converted by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And his calling was that directly of Jesus Christ, just like Alvin's, just like Dan's, just like Rick's. Just like every one of us. It's important. Why? Because my loyalty is to our God and to you. And that loyalty dictates that I'm as honest with you as I am to myself. And if I am burdened with making you happy, I'm not going to be able. to maintain that loyalty. So Paul's conversion, Paul's calling was important, because when he went to the Gentiles and taught them, he didn't teach them that you have to have every point of the law. You have to obey the law. You have to accept the law. But the law is not what will judge us. The law is not which will save us. The law only introduces us to Jesus Christ and to the Holy Comforting Spirit. And through the faith of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we then are in obedience to Christ. Buzz spoke this morning that we have to be baptized. But because I'm baptized, is that all that's necessary? No. After I'm baptized, I have to move forward and I have to grow just like Enos did. And that's the beauty of what Enos brings us, is the fact that Enos didn't stop when he had a successful experience with God and said, I'm there. He had to mature in his relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the interesting things, I think, is if we look at the Mosaic Law, what is the penalty? What is the cost of sin? It's the cost of a sacrifice. What is the cost of my repentance today? It's believing that Jesus Christ has the authority and the love to forgive me. Go with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I think it's interesting. If we look at the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, it says, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life. Now remember, these legalistic Jews said you can't be Christians because you aren't circumcised. Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. Christ does not come to you and say, you are circumcised, you are baptized, that's it. He says, well done, take your next step. Our work and our growth with God is a day after day after day experience with God. It is a growing experience, just like Enos experienced in the Book of Mormon. Enos did not accept God in the beginning. It was his father that told him. When I was baptized at 8 years old in the reorganized church, I did it because my parents wanted me to. When I was baptized into the Church of Christ when I was 30 years old, I did it because I wanted to. And because I wanted that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I knew I had to take the first step to walk with my God, to be willing to trust my God. Paul says, starting in the 10th verse, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now remember, he's talking to these Galatians about the legalistic Jews that came and told them that they couldn't be Christ-like. They told them they couldn't be Christians. He's telling them here, you know, don't think about them. Worry about you. He's confident that these people were converted. That's why he says in the first verse, stand in the liberty that Jesus Christ gave you, the liberty of his law, of his word, of his testimony. Your child, they mind us because they fear us originally. This big person up here is saying, don't do that or you're going to be in trouble. You may not spank your children, or you might, but they're obeying you originally. Why? Because they fear you. As they live with you, as we experience each other, they begin to trust and love you. When you walk with the Lord and you experience his love and his honesty and his victories that he allows you, why do you serve him? Because you don't want to let him down. Why did I have to quit smoking? I'd smoked a lot of years. Because it's going to kill me. Okay, that was a choice I made. Why did I have to quit? You know why? Because I sat in back of the East Local. And my jackets, my sports jackets and my suits always had tobacco smell on them. And I was always uncomfortable. And I was always concerned that I was imposing upon the other people in that church. That was an honest experience as I sat in the back of that local. Why did these people enter into a covenant? Because they were called unto liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by the love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why did Enos trust God? Because he loved his dad and he trusted his dad. And then he built a relationship with God. That's not a nickel's difference in what you and I have done. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Only thing we have to do to prove that is, does Satan fight against God? You bet. Satan wants his way. And Satan will go to any extreme to take you or me out of the hands of God. And there are flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And then Paul lists the characteristics of the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, which is uncleanness. Uncleanness and sexual impurity. Lasciviousness is sexual excess and uncleanness. Idolatry is not just the worship of graven images, but putting one's chief affections on any object or person instead of God. Witchcraft is sorcery, that is, tampering with the powers of evil. This would include dabbling in the occult. Variance is strife or discord. Emulations means jealousy. Strife is selfish ambition. Seditions are dissensions. Heresies are permanent organized divisions or cliques. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you. Think about the scripture that Buzz called us to remember this morning in Matthew 22, 38 through 40. Do we remember what that was? It's where the eunuch and the lawyer came to Christ and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. The second is likened to the first. To love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments," what? "Hang all the law and the prophets." Which one of those points or characteristics of the flesh that I just read could you participate in or demonstrate if you honestly loved your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself? You can't. And that's why Jesus Christ said, "Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." But Paul didn't stop there. He didn't just leave it on the negatives. He didn't just leave it on sin. Because as a servant of God, the next verse says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." Those traits of the flesh were crucified with Jesus Christ. So when we bring those forward, you can see how Christ would feel like he's being crucified again, because he's died for our sins. And he has made a place for you and I. Even that mansion with many rooms that Buzz spoke about this morning. Does it mean that you're going to have a special place? I don't know. Does it mean that I'm going to have a special place? I don't know. But my God said it. And I think I'll probably be happy when I see it. But I got to believe it. Because if I am so engrossed in the fact that whether or not I'm circumcised, whether or not I can be Christian-like, instead of focusing upon the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to read this last thing because I really did. This is what gave me the toughest time. And it was a summary of Galatians 5, 1 through 24. Whatever it was. We must remember that a group of Judaizers, legalistic Jews, came in after Paul and had introduced the Galatians to the Spirit of God and told them they could not be believers or not be Christians. Why? Because they weren't circumcised. Do you think that could happen today? That a group of people might come in and try to convince us that our way of worshiping our God is all wet? I don't know. Probably, I guess. But Paul taught the Galatians that the law was a means of introduction to Jesus Christ, who had sought the Father for the Comforter. The Comforter. The Comforter that gives us hope. The Comforter that gives us love. The Comforter that cares about how you feel. The Comforter that cares about your sickness, your family, your needs, your hopes, your desires. But can you focus upon the Comforter if you are entailed with the traits of the flesh, of envy, strife, and murder, and drunkenness, and lasciviousness? No. Remember, 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the law killeth. The law was supposed to kill. It's supposed to kill those things that cannot be acceptable in the realms of God's kingdom. But the spirit of the law is to give life. And to give it more abundantly, that we can have hope. It's important that we understand that the freedom from the law that Paul is teaching here is because the law is not controlling or judging. Jesus Christ, the just and loving judge, as it says in Alma, will be the only judge that will stand before us. And it will be through the hope of righteousness and through faith in that great plan of salvation that we will be judged. It's important to understand that the freedom from the law that Paul taught. We can only receive eternal joy and eternal life through a faith in the judge. Only the judge can find us worthy. Only the judge. We're not obeying the law because we fear vengeance from the lawgiver, but rather we are being blessed by the lawgiver to walk through life in the Spirit. When we are in the Spirit, we cannot focus upon the traits of the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, where are your eyes? They're upon Jesus Christ. Thank you all. And I hope there's a semblance of organization and a value to this that you'll think about, that you'll contemplate, that you'll go home tonight and give thanks for. The fact that God has created the plan of salvation and made it available to every person who will reach out and receive it. God bless you. Thank you all for being here tonight instead of in front of the tube for the Super Bowl. But I think this is important. Think who you owe your allegiance to. God bless you. Thank you.